sugya today. So we're on Daf Gimel and Beis. We did the Shemitah's Ksafim sugya. So now we're at Va'amar Avida Amar Shmuel, about 15 lines down on Daf Gimel and Beis. Va'amar Avida Amar Shmuel, Ha'omer L'chaveru. Someone says to somebody else, Almenas Shalot Tishamteni Shavias, that I'm going to lend you money, but we're building into the loan a condition that Shemitah shouldn't cancel the loan. Meaning, the guy doesn't want to lose all of his money. Every time he lends someone money, Shemitah year comes in and cancels the loan, and then he ends up not getting paid back. So he wants to build in a condition that Shemitah won't cancel the loan. So the halacha is Shviz Meshametas. Shemitah still cancels the loan anyway. I mean, you cannot make a condition that works around the halacha of Shemitah. The condition is invalid, and therefore the Shemitah will still cancel the loan. So says Gemara Lema Kasavra Shmuel, this seems to assume that Shmuel holds Masna Masha Kasabataru, that this is called making a Tanai against what it says in the Torah, that you're making a condition against the Dine Torah, and you're not going to make a condition to work around the Dine Torah. If you call it Masna Masha Kasabataru, to no batel. Whenever you make a Tanai against the Dine Torah, your Tanai is invalid. The halach is the Tanai is batel, but the Maisa is Kayim. So if you make a condition, you do a Maisa that's conditional on going against the Torah, the condition goes away, the condition doesn't exist, we ignore it, we pretend it's not there, and whatever you did, you did. So over here, the loan is a binding loan, but there's no way around the laws of Shemitah. So in fact, the Gemara, but wait, does Shmuel really say that? Vayitmar, didn't we say, what if someone says, I'm going to sell you something, but only on the condition that there are no dinim of ona'ah that will apply, that you shouldn't come to me with the tain of ona'ah. What's ona'ah?
Charging
more than 1/6 more, overcharging for something. So let's say I own an electronics store in Manhattan, so I have a great deal on some fancy camera or something. So someone comes and buys it, and I say, it's a great camera, and I know it's a great deal, and the guy knows he's getting a great deal. I say, but you should buy the battery along with it, and I sell him the battery along with it. And I say, but listen, I just want to make a deal that it's on the condition that there's no na'ah in this transaction, that you can't come to me with any claim that I overcharged you in this transaction. So the guy who bought it says, well, I was just online. I know how expensive this camera is. I know I got a great deal. Fine, I agree. I agree to that condition because I know that you're not overcharging me. But he doesn't chap that what all these stores do is the same thing. They give you a good deal on the camera, and then for a $2 battery, they charge you $32. Right? That's you know that? That's what they do, right? They for a $2 battery, they'll charge you $32. So they'll have blatant violations of ona'ah. So he doesn't realize that. Oh, it's a special battery for the camera. He thinks it's supposed to cost $32, and that's where they get him. So he doesn't realize that he's being cheated, and the smart store owner doesn't want to have to deal with him coming back and saying, with tainas of ona'ah, that you cheated me, you overcharged me. So he says, we're making conditional. All sales are final, and there's no tainas of ona'ah. So he builds that into the sale. Rav Amar, Rav says, yesh lo alav ona'ah. Rav says, you can't make conditions like that. It's like, I'll invite you to my house on the condition that we're allowed to eat pork today. You can't make conditions against what it says in the Torah. Ona'ah is a din of Torah. There's no going against what it says in the Torah. But Shmuel Omer, ein lo alav ona'ah. Shmuel says that's fine. There's no ona'ah. That the guy was mochel, and therefore there's no enough. But bottom line is, this is a stira. Shmuel is the one who said that when you build in a condition that Shemitah law shouldn't apply, your condition is ignored because it's against the Torah. But building in a condition that ona'ah doesn't apply, all of a sudden we listen to your condition. So the Gemara answers that there's a difference in the way you phrase it. If you phrase it in such a way where you essentially say Shemitah shouldn't apply, Shemitah doesn't apply, then you're not authorized to make any such condition. But if you phrase it in a way, not where you say that Shemitah doesn't apply, but where you say that this loan shouldn't be governed by Shemitah, that condition you're allowed to make. I mean, if you're trying to deny a din in the Torah, that's no good. But if you're trying to say that this particular halacha of dinei mamonos won't affect our transaction, that you're allowed to do. And the same is true with ona'ah. That if you say, al-manas, that there's no dinim of ona'ah, that they don't exist, well, yeah, you can't go against the dinim of na that exists in the Torah. But if you say more specifically that this transaction shouldn't be affected by the ona'a, by the laws of ona'a, then that can work. Any question?
Would it be ona'a if someone buys something and sells it for more?
Only if he's selling it for more than it should cost, for more than market value.
But how do you measure the market value?
The market?
Same, but the market value could be all the way.
It's
from
tricky
one,
because let's say you buy a suit at Nordstrom. You ever shop at Nordstrom? So if you go to Nordstrom, let's say, you're not just paying for the suit. It's a very fancy looking store. It's expensive to make a store look like that. There's tremendous customer service. The guy is with you, helping you out the whole time, telling you how handsome you are and whatever, and how good you look in the suit and everything, because he's trying to sell. Right, there's tremendous customer service. What?
Pays commission.
Right, of course. So it's different than buying it off a discount rack in the back of, you know, whatever, Sims or something like that. You know, it's a different experience. So part of what you're paying for is it's not so partial to always determine what the dinim of ona'a are. And the truth is, we could spend a day or two on ona'a. That's not what I wanted to do today. Today I wanted to do masal mashkos of a Torah as a sugya, meaning when is a tanai against the Torah not binding? When is it binding? Is masal mashkos of a Torah also true when you're masal masha amru rabbanan? What if you make a tanai against the din rabbanan? Is that also something that's going to be an invalid tanai?
Well, Rabbi Levin mentioned that there are three major kosher supermarkets in the area.
Yeah.
And granted, one's going to be more expensive. So there is a supermarket that I'm not mentioning names. There, one supermarket is more expensive than the other supermarkets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, based on, I guess, quality or based on how the store looks or something.
Customer service and the cleanliness of the store.
So he said in this particular supermarket, a gallon of milk, let's say a bottle of milk, say milk is $2.99, and in the other store it's $1.99. So how did the store that charges $2.99? How do they charge 50% more for that cart of the milk?
Right. So it's tricky. It's tricky because part of what they're selling is the experience. You know, the shopping experience. Let's say you have a store. You have a place that specializes in groceries only. You could buy like an old-fashioned key food or whatever, you know, grocery store. So the cereal there cost X amount of money. Key food's a bad example because it's actually pretty expensive. But
Target, my mom went to Target.
Right. But yeah. Then you have a store that has where everything is kosher, and they have sushi. A sushi place, and they have a butcher, and they have a bakery, and they have everything. So part of what you're paying for is that you don't have to run around town to five different stores. So is that something that they could charge a premium for? So again, dinim of ona'a is a good question, and it's a good topic. Not what we're going to do today, but it's a very good topic, and we could
fantastic topic.
It's a fantastic topic, yeah. So we could do dinim of ona'a. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Maybe not. We'll see. We'll have to see how far we get over here. But Masal Mashkos B'Torah, in terms of the Lamdas, is also a fantastic topic, a very intriguing idea. That, meaning the whole idea of Tanai is a fascinating idea. Where does that come from? That you have the right, if I'm making a sale, so the sale should be final, right? What gives me the right to include a condition in the sale? Or if I'm making any sort of deal, that there's a condition in it, that if this happens, if the sun comes out this afternoon, it doesn't stay cloudy all day, then the sale is a valid sale. Otherwise not. What does the sale got to do with the sun coming out? Why should I have the right to affect the transaction based on a tanai that I make? Where does that come from? So the Gemara tells us it comes from the Torah, that there is a tanai made in the Torah, the tanai of the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. What's the tanai of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven? The Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, we want to stay in Eivere Yarden. We don't want to go into the Holy Land, into Eretz Yisrael proper. We prefer Jordan. That's what they said. So Moshe Rabbeinu, heartbroken. Can you imagine saying this to Moshe Rabbeinu, of all people to say this to? The person whose life's mission, his only regret in life, is that he's not going to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. And here are these people, they're at the doorstep, and they have the ability to go in. And they're saying, yeah, it's better for our animals over here. We like it better over here. So Moshe Rabbeinu makes a deal with them. And he says, if you come and you fight and you lead the troops and you help conquer the land, then you can get this land in the Eivere Yarden. And if not, then you can't get land in the Eivere Yarden. So he makes it tonight. he makes a condition that this transaction of you gaining ownership of this land is conditional on your participation in the battle, in the battles by which we conquer Eretz Yisrael. So that's what's called Tanai B'nai Gadol B'nai Ruvain. The Gemara derives all of the laws of Tanai, which come up mostly in Shas, in the context of Gittin and Kiddushin, because you can make a Kiddushin al Tanai, you can make a Get al Tanai. Right? The guy will be in the Kadesh Nisha, but he's never met her parents yet, and he's afraid that they're not going to like him. So he says, I'm the Kadesh you al Manas, that your father is okay with it. That your father says that it's okay. So a very obedient son-in-law. Right away, the father-in-law is going to like him. That he made the whole Kiddushin hinge on the father-in-law's approval. So, but that's how he makes the Tanai. So that's where it comes up. By Gittin, the guy is Megarish, a wife, Almanas, that she, you know, performs some sort of service for him or helps him out or whatever. Some sort of condition. Almanas, that she moves away to a different city. Whatever his condition is. So that's the context that it comes up in Gittin and Kiddushin. But we learn all of the halachas of Tanai from B'nai Gadol B'nai Ruvain. That a Tanai has to follow the same exact pattern of B'nai Gadol B'nai Ruvain. And the basic background is that there's something called Mishpatei HaTanaim. Mishpatei HaTanaim are all the rules of making a proper Tanai. For example, you need, in order for a Tanai to be binding, it has to be what's called a Tanai Kafel. Tanai Kafel means it has to be said in both directions. If you do this, then this will happen. And even though we would then figure out on your own that if you don't do it, then it's not going to happen, right? Then the transaction, you have to say it. You have to say, and if you don't do this, then the transaction is not binding. You have to actually spell out both sides. Why? Why do you need to spell out both sides? Can't you figure it out on your own? Because the Tanai B'nai Gadol B'nai Ruvain spelled out both sides. So we learn from Tanai B'nai Gadol B'nai Ruvain that you need a Tanai Kafel. You need to spell out both sides. And there's another rule of Mishpatei HaTanaim that you need Hein Kodem L'Lav. It has to start with, if yes, then this will happen, and then go to the if not. You can't start with the lav first, with the no first, and then go to the yes. Why? What's the logic? No logic. We learn it out from the Tanai B'nai Gadol B'nai Ruvain. It's just the way it was. So whatever the Tanai B'nai Gadol B'nai Ruvain is, we have to follow the pattern of Tanai B'nai Gadol B'nai Ruvain. That's general discussion of Tanai. So there is a concept of Tanai Mida Oraisa. But what our Gemara is telling us is that there's a limitation on the rights to make a Tanai. That one is authorized to make a Tanai by the Torah, but that authorization is not universal, it's not unlimited. That authorization is somewhat limited. If you try to make a Tanai against the din in the Torah, that is not within the rights of a person making a Tanai. This comes up in the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos and Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara talks about a guy says he's Makadish a woman, but he knows that when you get married, a lot of people don't know this nowadays, when you get married, a person has monetary obligations, financial obligations to support his wife. So he has to give her She'er Ksus Va'ona. He needs to support her, he needs to give her food, he needs to give her clothing. That's part of getting married, that you have to be willing, you sign on in the Ksuba, that's what you're agreeing to support your wife. To give her whatever it is she needs. Even if it means from the shirt off my back, I'm going to go and I'm going to support my wife, right? That's the man's obligation. So let's say you have a guy who's learning in Kailu, and he can't envision supporting a wife. So he says that, and he doesn't want to spend any time with her, so he doesn't want to own her either, own his lechiv to be with, spend time with her intimately. Every once in a while, so he doesn't want to commit himself to that either. So he makes a kiddushin al manas that I shouldn't be obligated in shark sushona. Is that kiddushin valid? So the Gemara tells us in Misach Ksuvos and Vav Amud Aleph, source number 2 over here. Ditanya ha'omer liisha. Guy says to a woman, harei ha'mekadesh li al manas she'en lo yechalai shark sushona. I'm a kaddish you al manas that you should have no claims of any support from me. Harezu mekudesha su tuna batal. Divrei Meir. Meir says they're married and he has to support her. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'davar shebamamon tuna kayam. And no, it's totally fine. The Tanai is binding. Because kasava Rabbi Yehuda ksuva d'rabanan. V'chamas u'chizik d'vrein yos mishal Torah. Rabbi Yehuda holds ksuva d'rabanan. And okay, but whatever it is, the Tanai is Kayim. Why is it Tanai Kayim? Because it's a monetary issue. I'm not allowed to make a Tanai against Torah law when it's an issue of Isser V'Heter, when it's an issue of what you're not allowed to do, when it's an issue of, you know, to make a Tanai that I'm allowed to eat pork, that you're allowed to, you know, that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, that you can't do. But something that's purely monetary, so that's Tanai Kayim. Why? What's the difference? What difference does it make whether I'm getting out of the obligation to support my wife, which is a Torah obligation, or I'm getting out of the obligation to keep kosher, which is a Torah obligation? Why are they different? Yeah, so Binyan
L'Chaveru. So Binyan L'Chaveru, both sides are most, both sides
are most. So there's a concept called Mechil. That when if both sides are entering into an agreement, and the person is mochel, so then that should the Tanai can be binding. That is how Rabbi Yehuda understands. Now, if you look at Tosfos over there, Maseches Ksuvos, Nun Vav Amud Aleph, why is it that Mas al Mashkas B'Torah doesn't work? So Tosfos gives us a little bit of insight. Tosfos has a lot to say. It's a fairly long Tosfos, as you can see, but Tosfos gives us a little bit of insight. Let's at least get started on this Tosfos. Very, very interesting. Says Tosfos, wait a second. What happened in this Gemara? What did the Gemara say in Ksuvos? You're Mekadesh Nisha. How did you do it? Harei Mekadesh Asli? Yibetazu, let's say, Almenas? She'ein L'chon, look at the word. She'ein Lo Yechalai, Sherksos Va'ona. That you don't have any claims against me for Sherksos Va'ona. What did we just get through saying? In order for any Tanai to be binding, good, you need to say the yes before the no, you need to say it in both directions. What he should have said is, Harea Mekadeshes Li, that's the positive, we will be Mekadeshes, on the condition that there's no Sherksos Va'ona. And if there is Sherksos Va'ona, or maybe you should have said it the other way, if there is an obligation of Sherksos Va'ona, then I don't want the condition to be binding. I don't want to be married to you. But if there's no Sherksos Va'ona, then I'll be married to you. That's what it should have said. Because that would be a Tanai Kafel. That would be the Hein Kodem Lav. That would fit the Mishpatei Tanai. But the Gemara doesn't say it like that. The Gemara just says it as a one-sided thing with the Lav Kodem Lahein. So it says Tosfos, Al Korchach B'Dekafle L'Tanai Ayin. You have to say that the case we're talking about is where you did actually double up the Tanai, meaning where you did say it in both directions. The Amrla, where you said to her, Im ein loyach alai sherksus va'ona, hareyat mekudeshes. Right, that's the way to say it. That if you have no claims of sherksus va'ona, then yes, you'll be mekudeshes to me. But v'im lav, but if you're not willing to forgive your sherksus va'ona, al tiye mekudeshes. Then what? We're not going to be married. Because after all, we're going to say that the reason Rameir holds this Tanai is not a binding Tanai is that it goes against Torah law. But if you didn't say it in both directions, there's a more obvious reason why the Tanai is not binding. Every Tanai needs to be a Tanai Kafel. So it's not binding because it wasn't a Tanai Kafel. Kedamar ba'omer, like the Gemara says in Kedushin. Good. So first off, Tosfos just says a point of a fact that even though, and this is all over Shas, the Gemara all over Shas comes up with different Tanais. We'll mention cases of different Tanais. The Gemara doesn't always go through the tedious process of formulating the Tanai the way a Tanai actually has to be formulated. The Gemara just says, yeah, they make a Tanai that this happens, like in our Gemara. Almanas shalot shamteni shviyas, that shemitah shouldn't cancel. If he really wanted the Tanai to work, shouldn't he have to say, and if Shemitah does cancel, then I don't want to lend you, then the loan is not chal, right? You'd have to do it in a certain way. But the Gemara doesn't want to go through that every time. The Gemara has it in one place, in one sugi and shas, where it tells you, you need a Tanai kafel. Good. So once we have that one time, we have a whole sugi and gittin and kiddushin about Tanai kafel. So once we have that, great. Now I'll know that every Tanai in Shas really means a Tanai Kafel, a Hinkal Dem Lav, and all the Mishpatei Tanai. So it's not going to actually spell it out every time. So it's not just here in Ksuvos and here in Matos. Everywhere that a Tanai comes up in Shas, it really means to say that it's a Tanai Kafel. What?
It doesn't.
it doesn't actually spell it out because it doesn't have to go through the process because you know, everyone knows the sugya of Tanai Kafel, so you know that that's the way to make a Tanai work. It doesn't actually have to spell it out every time. Period. Fourth line now. Vitema imkein amayhi mukudeshes. Hare hisna beferish shim yehela lav sharksosvona shenem mukudeshes. He says, I don't get it. The guy made a very clear statement that if he were to be obligated in She'er Ksus Va'ona, they are not married. And what did Rav Meir say? They're married, and he's obligated in She'er Ksus Va'ona. What do you mean? He just said, it's fine, you aren't obligated in She'er Ksus Va'ona? That's fine, but then we're not going to be married, because I'm not doing that. So, shouldn't we say, shouldn't the halacha be that they're not married? Meaning, why is the halacha that they're married and he's chayv in Sherek Susvona? The halacha should just be that they're not married. Because you can't fulfill the Tanai. The Tanai is that he shouldn't be chayv in Sherek Susvona. You can't go against the Dine Torah. So you can't fulfill the Tanai.
Exactly. Him getting married is not predicated on the fact whether he gives a Sherek Susvona.
Yeah, but where's the das for kiddushin? In order to be mekadesh nishin, you need to have das for kiddushin. And he's saying that I'm not having das for kiddushin if I'm going to have to pay sharks as well. Okay, good. But yir tos is kasha. I mean, you're giving a teretz, but yir tos is kasha. That he's saying I'm not having das for kiddushin over here. If I'm going to have to pay sharks as well, I don't want to be married. And says to us, "Ve'ein lomer, and don't try to answer dilakachmu kudeshes, levisha mekadsha al menas shetimchala. That the reason she's mekadeshes is because you're actually being mekadisher, not al menas that there won't be a chiyuv sharksusvona, but al menas that she'll be mochel that chiyuv sharksusvona, vahare machla, and she was mochel sharksusvona. So the condition actually was met. Only one little problem." She's not authorized to be mochel Sharek Susvona because only God can be mochel Dine Torah, and Sharek Susvona is a din in the Torah. El Dein Mechila. It's just that her Mechila is not a real Mechila. And maybe that's why they are married. Why? So what's he saying? Maybe the reason they're married is his Tanai was fulfilled. What was his real Tanai? His Tanai was that she should be mochel Sharek Susvona. That she should make the gesture, the kind gesture of saying, that's okay, honey, you don't have to support me. And she did that. She made that kind gesture of saying, you don't have to give me Sharek Ksus Va'ona. So they're Mekudesh, they're married. The Kiddushin is valid Kiddushin. He's still going to have to give her Sharek Ksus Va'ona because she's not authorized to forego the Sharek Ksus Va'ona. So he says, no, don't say that that's what's going on over here. The Hadhanya Parag Bez Nazir, because we have a Gemara in the second Parag of Nazir. Hareini Nazir al Menashe Eshte Yain Vatami Lemesim. Harei Zanasa Vasa Bekula and Mesha Masa Mashkasa Betora. Vasa Melo Shayach Lushnei Hachi. He says, because that may work for this case, where it's between two people and the woman could be mochel and make the gesture of being mochel and just not be authorized to be mochel. But how is it going to work in a different case? The Gemara says, Mesach is Nazir. You have a guy who thinks it's really cool to be a Nazir. He wants to grow his hair long. He always thought long hair looked really cool. So he decided that, reminds me of a story I told in Shabbat Shuvah Joshua. It's a good Muslim. There used to be a television talk show host who was an awful human being. He would just make fun of and mock everyone who came on his show, just as in the early 60s. And some people said that he was very acerbic and mean because he Nebuch had a leg amputated and had a wooden leg and he was still bitter from that. And some people just thought he was just a bad guy. He was just not a nice guy. So the musician, Frank Zappa, you ever heard of Frank Zappa? Yeah, Frank Zappa was a musician, came on his show once. And Frank Zappa had long hair. He was a man, but he had long hair, and it was before the hippie revolution where everyone had long hair. It was the early 60s. Frank Zappa comes on this guy's show, and the guy says to Frank Zappa, first words out of his mouth are, oh, you have long hair, I guess that means you're a girl. And Frank Zappa responds without blinking, oh, you have a wooden leg, I guess that makes you a table. What's the part? If you ever look at a human being and you only look at one dimension of the person, you're missing the whole thing. You could look at Frank Zappa and think he's a grower. You could look at a television talk shows and think he's a table. If you want to see a human being, human beings are complicated. You have to see the whole picture. You can't just look at one element. You know, oh, I don't like the way that guy dresses. He must be Balgaiva. You don't know. You can't look at one element and make a judgment. But anyway, that has nothing to do with this. So a guy thinks it's a good muscle. But a guy, and got a good laugh at the Shabbos Shiva Joshua. People like that. He was able to keep referring back to that. If you're doing this, you're looking at the guy and you're calling him a table. You know, you have to look at the whole. All right. Anyway. So there's this guy decides he wants to have long hair. He wants to be a Nazir. He wants to bring the Karbanos. He thinks the Karbanos of a Nazir are really cool. He wants to be Megaleach, the Seir, at the end. He wants to burn the Seir. There's only one thing. He really likes wine. So he wants to be a Nazir, but he would like to be able to drink wine. Or he really likes hanging out with dead people. So he wants to be a Nazir, but he wants to be able to be Tami LeMason. So he makes that as a Tanai in his Nazirus. So the halacha is, I raise a nazir v'asr b'kula. He is a nazir, his nazirus is binding, but he's not allowed to drink wine and he's not allowed to be matami l'mesim. His condition is ignored because his condition is against the dinei Torah. It's ma'asal mashkas b'Torah. Frek toisvus, but wait a second. He only had the das to be a nazir if he'd be allowed to be matami l'mesim. You're telling him he can't be a Matam of the Mason. Shouldn't that mean that he's not a Nazir? Instead of saying the halach is that he's a Nazir, but he can't be a Matam of the Mason, say, if he can't be a Matam of the Mason, then he had no das to be a Nazir. Maybe he's not a Nazir. And over there you can't answer, oh no, what he meant is that the dead guy should forgive, should be mochel. No, there is no other party. Dead guy is not another party. The wine is not another party in the case. By the guy being Mekadesh and Isha, say here, you want to say, oh, his condition was really that she should make the gesture of being Mochel. That makes sense, because there's a person there to be Mochel. How are you going to explain that by a Nazir? There's no other person to be Mochel anything. So what's going on over here? How does Masna Almasha Kasa B'Torah work? Why is it, when you make a Tanai against the Dinei Torah, that the action is binding and the Tanai is just ignored? Shouldn't we more logically say that you had no das for the action if your Tanai cannot be fulfilled? Says Tosfos, here's the Yesod. Va'omari di'ilav di'alfinan mitanai b'nei God b'nei Ruvain havamina d'shum Tanai enum vatel samaisa va'afil lo yiskayim b'sof ha'maisakayim. He says, wait a second. The very concept of Tanai is derived from where? B'nei God B'nei Ruvain. Let's say the Torah never would have said anything about B'nei God B'nei Ruvain. The Torah never would have introduced us to Tanai. What would we have thought had the Torah never made that? If that parsha were missing from the Torah, what would we have assumed? I make a transaction with you, conditional that you jump up and down three times. I'm selling you my watch on the condition you jump up and down three times. And you don't jump up and down three times. What would we have assumed without the Torah law of B'nei God B'nei Ruvain? The what? So he says, no, Tos says what we would have assumed is that I did a Maisa, I sold you a watch. What does jumping up and down have to do with it? You can't add externals to a deal. The deal is the deal. The deal is you pay me money, you get the watch. That's the transaction. Anything, any Tanai you build onto the transaction is irrelevant. It's ridiculous. That's not part of the transaction. Had the Torah not told me about B'nei God B'nei Ruvain, about the concept of Tanai, I would have thought transaction is binding and you do get the watch. And the Tanai is just ignored. Elamai, the Torah did tell me about B'nei God B'nei Ruvain. And therefore I have the right to manipulate the deal by adding Tanai. But he says, when your Tanai is going to be against the Dinei Torah, v'hashad di'alfina mehasim d'mahani Tanai levat alamaisa, now that we learn from B'nei God B'nei Ruvain that a Tanai works, Amrina did davka kshena masal mashkas b'torah. Damid b'nei gadol b'nei Reuven shalos no mashkas b'torah. One of the things I learned from b'nei gadol b'nei Reuven is that just like their Tanai didn't go against any Torah laws, so too any Tanai I add can't go against any Torah laws. So essentially what it does for me is, if I make a Tanai against what it says in the Torah, that's like making a Tanai backwards with Lav Kodem Lahein. Or that's like making a Tanai that's only one-sided. It's against the Mishpatei HaTanai. It's against the laws of the Tanai. I'm not allowed to make a Tanai like that. Such a Tanai is an unauthorized Tanai. And when you have an unauthorized Tanai, what you have is no Tanai. The Tanai disappears. So we don't say, I didn't have das for the Mecca. I didn't have das for the Kiddushin. I didn't have das to become a Nazir. Yes, you did have das to become a Nazir. You just tried to connect the Tanai to it. But the Torah is only Mechadesh that I'm allowed to connect the Tanai, that I'm allowed to attach a Tanai to a deal if that Tanai is similar to Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven. And it's only similar to Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven if it doesn't go against the laws of the Torah. So this Tanai goes against the laws of the Torah. Mela, we ignore it entirely. And therefore, the action is still going to be binding. And that's why the guy does become a Nazir, but he's not allowed to be Metamei LeMeisim. That's why the woman is Mukadeshes, but he's still Chayiv in Sherek Susvona. Vim Tomar, Frek tells us further, wait a second. Hadnan Perek Basra de Menachos. There's a Gemara at the very end of Maseches Menachos. Hareini Nazir al Menas Sha'agaleach bebeis Chonyo. A guy says, I'm going to be a Nazir on the condition that when I do the Giluach, you know what the Giluach is? At the end of the Nazirus, people often think of Nazirus as growing hair. That's not really what the main thing about the hair with the Nazirus is. Yeah, you have to grow your hair till the end, but it's also that you could do the mitzvah of Giluach at the end of the Nazirus. You shave it all off at the end of the Nazirus, then you burn the hair as like part of a carbon under the in the fire in the Beis Hamikdash.
Smells really bad.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. Burning hair? I don't know. So you then burn the hair in the, right? So let's say a guy says, I'm going to be Nazir, but Beis Hamikdash, I don't want to burn in the Beis Hamikdash. There's another place that's like a competing house of worship called Beis Chonya, where a lot of people would go worship there. So I want to burn in Beis Chonya. Halach is galeach beis hamikdash. He has to be megaleach in the beis hamikdash. Vim gileach beis chono yatsa. But if he's megaleach beis chono, that works also. Umefarish b'gemar. And the Gemara explains, Hainu taima, the high gavul tzure nafshe kamechavim. This guy is only trying to make his own life difficult. He's trying to drive himself crazy. Omar im sagi beis chono tarachna. And what he's saying is that if I can get away with doing it in Beis Chonyo, then it's worth it. Pirush Hilchah Rasul Galeach Mikdash Chal of Nazirus V'Meino Yachal O'Meino Rotsul Letrach Adayim Tachi Lo Nadar Igloi Milsul Lavi Nazir. Meaning that if the guy is not able to fulfill what he said, then he never has the das to be a Nazir in the first place, and therefore he never is a Nazir to begin with. Frank tells us, what do you mean? Isn't that exactly the case of Masna al Mashikas Torah? The halach is you have to burn it to the Giluach in the Beis HaMikdash. When he's making it tonight that Shadaf can be done in Beis Chonyo, the halach should be that you're a Nazir and you have to dafka do it in the Beis HaMikdash, because your tonight is totally ridiculous. Your tonight is garbage.
It doesn't say you can't do it in the Beis HaMikdash. It just says you should do it in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, let's say in a case of
No, the halacha is it has to be in the Beis HaMikdash.
Has to be.
Yeah. Oh. So the Tosa suggests, but Masal Mashikas B'Torah is only to know Batel. We only say that tonight is Batel if you knew that what you were saying was against Dinei Torah. This guy, Nazir, didn't know that it was against Dinei Torah. Now, why should that make a difference? Think for a second. Why should that make a difference? Either way, I'm going against the Torah. What difference does it make if I know I'm going against the Torah? I don't know I'm going against the Torah.
Shogeg or me.
What do you mean by that?
There are different levels that apply to somebody who does something amazing.
But why, when I know I'm going against the Torah, are we going to say that we ignore the Tanai, but I'm still bound by the Maisa? When I don't know if I'm going against, that I'm going against the Torah, okay, we assume that I didn't have Das for the Maisa to begin with.
I'll take Kavana.
So I think with the svara, yeah.
When you kavana meaning that you're trying to phrase it in the right way. Your kavana in the case where you know it's the wrong thing, you're doing the wrong thing. Your kavana is dafka predicated on the fact that I'm doing it because I'm trying to act.
Let's say it this way. I think this is what you're driving at anyway.
Because you know it's the wrong thing to do, therefore
you know it's not going to fly.
It's not going to fly, so you're trying to get a pass.
Exactly, meaning you know it's not going to fly, and therefore you're having full das for the maisa. When you're a Makadish woman, I'm going to ask that you shouldn't have to pay shok sasvona. You know that that's wrong. You know that you have to pay shok sasvona, and therefore you really are having das for kedushin because you know that you can't really make conditions against shok sasvona. That's ridiculous. But when you make it tonight that you didn't even know is against the Torah. Almanasa, you're going to be Mekaleich Beischoni. You thought that that's okay. So then you're really not having das to be a Nazir if you can't be Mekaleich Beischoni. Your das to be a Nazir is predicated on being able to do this because you think that you're really allowed to do this. You think that this is really permissible. So your das is predicated on that. And therefore you're not having das to be a Nazir at all. Okay, Beis Hashem, we'll continue with this more tomorrow. There's a lot more in the Masa Moshkos, and then maybe we'll move on to the Sugya of Onaya after that.